IVM. Welcome to Audio Gyan with Kedar Nimkar, a podcast that documents insightful conversations with Indian designers, artists, musicians, writers, thinkers, and creatives of all types. Catch us on iTunes or visit audiogyan.com for more Gyan sessions. Here's your host, Kedar Nimkar.
Welcome back to Audio Gyan. I'm chatting with Ashish Acharya and Abhay Singh, who are the co-founders of MarchTee. MarchTee produces truly simple and high-quality t-shirts for men and women. This is the second part. In the first part, we spoke about their design philosophy, and most of the conversation was leading towards the second part, where we'll be discussing today the making of MarchTee products and how did they build such a well-rounded experience which establishes a great brand. So, welcome back, guys. Thank you for coming back on the show. And thanks, Abhay. Thanks, Ashish.
Thanks, Kedar, again, for having us.
So, if we can start off by what's the story behind March, the word itself, first of all. When, why, how did it happen? And we jumped the gun in the first part by directly talking about MarchTee as a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that some new listeners may be not aware of MarchTee. I'm less likely like that is going to happen. But so why t-shirt and not some other product? If you can start by that.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Kedar. So as you already know, before we made the MarchTee, we were Studio March. And it's actually a pretty old name at this point. And there's a running joke amongst our customers and new people who come across March for the first time. And they ask us, why are you selling March teas in April? But contrary to what most people think, the name never really meant the month March. It was always a verb, like March ahead. If you look at the logo for our Studio March website, the icon is actually a marching guy. So we were actually pretty comfy working with clients at Studio March back then, but there was always this feeling that we wanted to get out of our computer screens and make something in the real world. And you know how casual the environment in a design studio is. All of us wore tees to work, but none of us could ever find a good tee in India that we really loved. This actually came up in a discussion over dinner one day. One of us noticed that we were all wearing basic tees, and they asked where we got ours from. We ended up having a long discussion about it and realized that none of us were happy with the tees that we were wearing. And that's where we first thought of making tees for ourselves.
This is actually a small side story which I would like to share. And this is like a pure Indian context, I think. So I think like we in general shared a very common annoyance about the state of customer support in India. Like this was back then when we launched. So we like just in terms of like services in India or products in India, there was support was so bad. Like there was like we felt like good support was pretty much absent in India. So when we were designing the product, at the back of our heads, we always wanted to scratch that itch. Like we wanted to provide a really good human support in India. Thankfully, it's in a better state now. But I think that was also one of the things that we always had in our minds when we were actually thinking about MarchTee.
But how does that tie back to, the customer care angle to the tea itself? Like I'm sure like there must be a lot of discussions around other stuff as well, right? There's so many broken things in India,
correct,
and the world.
Right.
So what triggered the t-shirt angle?
So just like Abhay said, we wanted to take something every day that we use and just make it better. So we thought of a lot of things. As you said, like there are so many things that were broken. But I think t-shirt was the first thing that we thought of. It was like very easy for us to decide upon it. It was like the the most common thing that between all of us. And we didn't really find a good high quality t-shirt back then. So it was pretty easy for us to actually decide it was the t-shirt that we wanted to start off with.
I'm sure we had different ideas back then. But the thing is, our ideas might have been more of a niche sort of thing, which we didn't really want to get into. We wanted something that would get to everyone. I mean, something that everyone could use. So that is where a tee actually came in. It's something that like a youngster, a college student would wear, and someone who's maybe in their 50s would also be able to wear. So
what was the thought behind keeping such a limited or like a sharp catalog, I would say? Is it because you guys are venturing into like a new domain, which like probably less limited knowledge, or you wanted to test out with users and then put it out into full manufacturing mode, or because you wanted to keep real high focus, which we spoke about briefly in the first part as well? So any particular reasons why you have like a limited lineup and such focus catalog?
If you think our current shop is limited, you should have seen what we started off with.
The question is mainly towards that only, because when I stumbled upon March Tee for the first time, I think through some Facebook campaign, and I just landed up there, and this is the destination for me now. And somehow I got in touch with Ashish, and the first conversation which I had with him around a year, like maybe 6 months back, was that how are you, like, matlab kaise rakh rahe ho itna short catalog kaise hai?
Initially, when we started, we only wanted to make a single gray tee that was super nice to wear daily, and that would eventually become a uniform. So that's where the idea had started for us.
Even though like the tee, as a product, it falls under fashion, like we still, even today, we think of it as a utility tech product. We don't think of it as a fashion product at all. So the design and tech is kind of our DNA, right? So I think that also affects a lot of our decision making. So when we were making the first t-shirt, we never thought of like how many SKUs it'll have, or the styles or the patterns. Like that thing just never struck us. Like we never thought of it. We were just thinking about the fabric, the construction, and the fit. Eventually, once we were happy with the first cut that we made, the first t-shirt, honestly, as Abhay said, we were happy with it, happy with just like one color. Then we ended up adding two more colors to it, maybe because we felt it wasn't the right amount of less. So we just ended up adding two colors to it. I think a lot of this comes from a, because we have like a design and tech DNA in us.
And as a small team, we always wanted to focus on one good product at a time and not really fall into the trap of making too many different things. And once we were confident in our tea, we started working on a small handful of other products, and we've been releasing them only when we were completely happy with them.
In fact, that like making just one gray tee gives a lot of background for my next question, which is, so what are your thoughts about standardization? And again, because of the DNA of engineering, tech, and building apps, we as designers would tend to make templates and keep things much more efficient so that it can scale. And that's where the standardization part comes in. So with limited catalog, you will venture, if people start comparing you to a fashion brand, then you might land up in a Uniqlo model where things are pretty much standard. So how do you respond to that in like India's diverse culture, or you have your target audience fixed now? Because India is full of colors, right? And then you're bringing like a different narrative altogether.
Right. Like, honestly, I do not think our goal is to standardize what people wear. Like I wouldn't say like we we are aiming for anything like that. I think clothes are still a form of expression, right? Like, it's very subjective. What works for you may not work for me. But there's also, on the other hand, we all wear a t-shirt to work. It's like one of the basic, like just like a classic basic thing. And you always want to look sharp at work, right? Like, so like no one wants to look sloppy. Like, even in India, when I see like young working people, they are always dressed up sharp and they look confident. And there's a certain confidence in pulling off a basic plain t-shirt also. So I think having a great quality tee that looks sharp and feels good, it just makes sense, right? Like, I think it just goes beyond a certain geographical divide. There's no such thing as like it's different for a different person staying somewhere else. So,
we don't want to tell people which colors to wear or what cut to go for. And there's always some tees that we like to bring back, especially grays, blacks, navies, and all the standard, like, basic colors. But beyond that, we try to keep on innovating and making new things all the time. But that being said, I do think some level of standardization is unavoidable at scale, especially in terms of sizing. Still within that, we like to customize our stuff as much as possible. For example, like, if you look at the cuts that we sell in India versus the UK, the sizes are all custom designed for each market. And even within that, we take care to design different patterns for each size rather than just scaling up from one base pattern. Like, let's look at it on a scale, since people like to look at things on a scale. If you have tailor-made clothing on one end and worldwide standardized stuff on the other, I think we are a little closer to the tailored end.
Correct. And then how do you decide? This also you touched upon very briefly in the part one, but to dig deeper, how do you decide what to improve in the new line of products, which aspect to improve, and how are these decisions also made? Is it through research? You spoke about listening to your users, so getting feedback. So what is the percentage of... Now I got the question correct. So what happens is when there's a new keynote in WWDC, they say we made like 0.3 mm slimmer or whatever. That sort of marketing practice is very evident in Apple, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But it has got some depth to it. It has got some thought behind it. It's not just a pure marketing gimmick, although it could be debated. But in your case, the subtle differences, because you're working in nuances, you're working in like attention to detail kind of a thing. So how are these decisions made of improving the product? And second is, how are you communicating these subtle nuances?
I think that's pretty debatable, like the way you use your feature for your marketing. Like, I think I totally understand where you come from. But as I said, like, I think tech is in our DNA. So trust me, like, when we do our products, even today, we do it like Git pushes. Like, we totally believe in making small improvements continuously. Even if it's like a 1% better than the previous version, it's still it's a upgrade for us, and we always like do that. In fact, we also follow a tech way of versioning our tees internally. So we are currently on like V6.4. And then obviously you decide whether you want to. If it's something substantial and you're happy about it, then obviously you have something for the customer too. Like, you tell it to the customer on the site and the on your story. So that happens naturally later. But yeah, I think the key is to just keep making it better, like just inch by inch. That's the thing, yeah.
I think we also really don't think of ourselves as a fashion brand. Everything we make is more focused on the utility than the trends. And we tend to work very intuitively. Like, we still decide to make products based on our own needs and what we feel could be made a lot better. Would we get into making phones or computers? Probably not, because there are so many people doing it very well already. But would we maybe make a pair of pants? Yeah, maybe. And there's room for improvement there.
Mm-hmm. So if you can give any particular example in the four, now there's Unit also, which is out. So any one of the range, how did you keep improving, say, the collar? Like any particular example which can be much more relatable to a GitHub push? Yeah.
It just like boils down to everything, man. Like we I'll talk about like labels, right? Like it's a very small element in the. In fact, it's the most unused thing on the T. But like a wash care label. Like we keep working on the copy that goes on it. Like a lot of times, like people may not pay attention to what goes in there. But we try to just keep making it better, keep making it clearer for people. Like even for the neck label, like we try to keep finding the right material that's not pokey at all. So yeah, these are like just like these fine improvements, and like trust me, like we have gone crazy hunting for these like nicer materials, like. Not just India, even like abroad, like we've like tried to find source like better materials for smaller things like trims and labels and stuff like that. So yeah, again, these smaller things like definitely count into making like something even better.
Yeah, I think even in terms of USP, which is not a USP, but we always use Supima cotton for all of our teas. So a lot of people might think that any Supima cotton tea is the same. I mean, ultimately, it's the same cotton, right? And people think about fabrics in terms of their softness and how they feel. But there are so many things that go into it. I mean, like you have the thickness of the yarn itself. There is the way it is knit together. That changes the way the t-shirt drapes. And that changes so many factors about the tea. And we are constantly tweaking really small details in there just to make the tea drape a little better, feel a little softer, just to be that little bit nicer in the fabric itself, which is the base of the tea.
But on the one side, there is this satisfaction of making little softer. Now, little is really non-tangible. Do you put some efforts to make it tangible so that it's more marketable, or is there anything going around there? Because this little, I can completely relate when you're right making from a small icon to anything, thoda sa aur ek pixel idhar matlab banta hai, right? And that is not really adding from a business standpoint. So is there any conflict which happens at that point?
Yeah, I mean, technically, there's not really a way to measure how soft something is. But if you wear a match tee version 1, then you wear a match tee version 2, and you wear a match tee version 3, especially regular customers, they would definitely see those small changes stacking up. And I mean, today, if you compare a version 1 match tee to a version 6, there is definitely a noticeable improvement between the two. I mean, in terms of like technicalities, those are things that we know internally. Like we adjust the technical aspects of the fabric internally quite a bit, but that is not something that we advertise to people, because people don't know how thin a yarn is, or they don't know how finely it is knit in terms of say like even in terms of GSM or anything like that. So in our communication, it's always nicer for us to be more relatable to our customers.
Yeah, I think there's also a side advantage to it, because when you are communicating these nuances, then people start understanding, especially in India, it makes a lot more sense to educate the users also what you're getting into. And that somewhere brings in a transparency also. It's not, that may not be the intention, but it inevitably happens. So one more thing which I wanted to ask was, again, I'm quoting Steve Jobs here, but as I'm not like referring to Steve Jobs, because I'm not like the regular fanboy of Apple the way there are, but I'm trying to observe some nuances about his work as well. And if you can clearly see, he has also given a very, like, very critical attention to the accessories, to the chargers, to like every small bit which goes into building that complete experience. And I can see some similar traits where it is going. So if you can tell us what were the challenges, like the entire story around packaging also, what were the challenges and how did the pencil which says do good work was conceived? Right from the invoice, it's just a complete experience, right? So if you can tell me that about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we love our packaging. In general, all of us have this habit of, we have like a big yellow box in our office, and whenever we come across like good packaging, we like keep collecting it. In general, there's a big obsession for packaging for all of us. Of course, like when it comes to packaging, it's the function that comes first. In our case, it's something we are shipping out. So, we need good strength. Simple things like paper thickness and the strength of the tape, that also like plays a important role in how the entire package reaches to the customer and the opening experience. I think after the function, like to me personally, it's the touch and feel of the package. There's a certain, like how a certain paper makes a sound when you crumple it, or how the buttons snap when you open a bag. I think these play a very important role for me I would put this over like the visual effect of the package, like the feel of it.
Ultimately the package needs to, it's a utility thing, right? Ultimately it needs to pack the tea. So our shipping box is actually made incredibly strong so that it doesn't crumple in transit. And it can be used again for returns without being damaged. Our label is custom designed to work with all the various courier companies that we use. And the label is printed on a strong sticker paper that also doubles up as a secure sealing tape in a way, because we use that to seal our boxes, and that is the only thing we use to seal the box. So if a courier company opens the box, there's no way to replace that label for them. So customers always know whether the tea has reached them in one piece. And our original bags were made with a translucent material so that while packing, we could see which color was inside. And this was like a very internal thing for us, because we had stacked up all these teas in one place. And how do you quickly pack a box just by looking at the packaging, you know, without reading a label or anything? That was the problem that we were faced with. And that's why we had translucent packaging to start with. And when the customers got it, they could also see the tea inside, which was almost like a teaser for them. So now, of course, we're trying to minimize our packaging. So we've got rid of this layer. And instead, we have an adjustable paper flap inside each box, which just has like a sticky tape, and it seals the tea in place.
What was the reason behind getting rid of the plastic? Is it like some production issue? Is it like eco-friendly angle, something like that? Or
it is the eco-friendly angle very much. We actually initially also never wanted to use plastic, but we had this issue with storing our teas. I mean, you can't just stack up teas without packaging. because then they would just crumple and they start going bad. So for that reason, we had initially thought of doing this whole packaging, plastic packaging. And we shipped the teas in the same pack because it was a very sturdy pack. And we had made it in a way where it's not something that you just take the tea out of and throw the plastic away. It was sturdy enough that people could keep their documents in it or they could reuse it in some way.
I use it for whatever, like.
But there are customers who have like hundreds of t-shirts, and I'm sure they have those 100 bags as well. So I think like we felt like probably that's just adding up, and we wanted to reduce a little bit there. So yeah, I think that's when we thought like maybe we could move to a more minimal way of shipping the teas.
And what's the story with Do Good Work pencil?
Yeah, I mean, the pencil, well, I mean, it used to be such a thing, right? Like getting these small freebies inside a box, like these surprises. Unfortunately, no one does it anymore. Yeah, I mean, we couldn't think of anything meaningful. Like we wanted that surprise element, but we couldn't think of anything meaningful than like a nice classic yellow pencil.
I think the pencil is very dear to us as designers because that's where all our ideas begin, and we had actually decided to include one in each pack just to encourage others to also start on ideas of their own.
It is already like I have some 8 pencils already.
Yeah, there's this interesting story where I think it was a student or something, and he was writing his exams, and so he had written his previous exams using the March pencil, and he just left us a note saying that I think he couldn't buy the tea, but he wanted the pencils because he thought it was lucky for him, and he wanted to write the next exams with that pencil. So we just like shipped him pencils in an empty box.
Oh, wow. Cool. So to me, I'm very sure that all those people who are following you, I'm talking on their behalf as well. So March Tea is not just a t-shirt, but like a complete experience. So from buying to getting the confirmation mail, to getting the product delivered, to wearing it and wearing it again, because a lot of like I've personally bought Lacoste t-shirts, and after 3 washes, if not done properly, even they change shape or whatever. So that's why I said like washing it again and again and still using. So right from inception to wearing it again and again, it's a complete experience. So if you have to summarize in say 3 to 4 points, what would you say? Like how has the journey been partially, and how, like what were the key learnings while designing a really good product?
Yeah, I mean, right from the start, we've always thought of a t-shirt design in the same way that we think of for a user experience design. And I know that's a little weird, but it helped us a lot. We don't think of the online and physical parts of March as separate things. They are basically part of one experience for us. So we very meticulously plan out each step of the journey that the customer takes. And then we implement everything with a lot of care. And the last step for us is to optimize based on feedback and based on how people use it. So the first thing we want to tell people is how the tea feels. I mean, obviously being an online store, no one has ever felt the tea when they see it for the first time. So all of our copy, photography, mood, everything tends to reflect that. We have the unique advantage of having only a few products on the store. So we don't even have a product index page. It's always difficult to pick the right size online on e-commerce websites. So we tend to add in pictures of people in different size tees whenever we can. And you know, we hate those bank OTP pages when you're trying to check out. So we integrated the entire checkout experience into our own site. And by the way, if you, I don't know if you've noticed, but the entire shop is just one single page. And all the different sections load instantly when you click on a different color. And it's the same story with the checkout flow as well.
And you actually, if you notice the T, there's a T thumbnail that flies to the cart when you add it as a like a part of the feedback. But yeah, I mean, the website is our only storefront, right? Like other brands probably have like a physical store. And but for us, it's just this website, which is which becomes like the first interface. So, I mean, like just like when you see like a well-designed physical store, right? It's like an experience in itself. Like you see the window display or you there's like a certain flow of moving through the store or there's like product placement and there's trial room. And like you notice how intrusive a sales guy is or how the payment happens. So I think this all this like becomes like a complete buying experience when it comes to physical store. So I think we kind of like try to bring in the same amount of thoughtfulness to our, even if it's a website, it's like a, still a store behind the phone screen. So we kind of like work hard to like bring that thoughtfulness here as well. Like our challenge is like, yeah, as Abhay said, like people can't touch or feel the product. But our advantage is our store can adapt based on like who is seeing it. Like, is it a new user? Is it like an existing user, a super loyal customer, or it could be men, women, has he added any item to the cart or has he dropped off? Stuff like that. Like I think there's a lot of stuff that we like customize for the person that's there. And there's a lot more that can be done in that space.
You know, when you order something from most online stores, you will likely get like 3 to 4 emails, 3 to 4 texts. Sometimes they'll even call you to confirm your order. We absolutely hate that. So from the time you place an order to the time you actually have your Majhti in your hand, we will only send you 2 emails, which is one has your receipt, one tells you when your order ships, and that's it. And it's very lean, but super effective. And sure. Finally, when you receive your tea, we try to make the unboxing experience enjoyable as well. So the box is super sturdy and we wanted it to be easy to open. So we designed it to be stuck at only one single single point. There's no flap that goes into the box. There's nothing else stopping you from just cutting open the label and getting to your tea. And inside you'll find the tea comes very neatly stacked, folded, not crumpled up in one corner of the box. There is almost always a handwritten note that is relevant to that particular customer.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the pencil.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many small things that we've spent days and weeks designing, and we're really happy that people appreciate the experience.
Yeah. In fact, I have one small feedback, and it's a very, very trivial feedback, but I used to just love that. So when I put in like a one t-shirt and go to the checkout, it used to say one T added, and it had a smiley regular face. When you add two, the smiley head like was smiling much more, and when it was three, so basically a little nice play of emojis, but it was a super delight. And I was trying to see where I can borrow this and like use in my products which I'm designing. But yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, glad that you notice it, man. Like I think that's the most satisfying thing, that like the smallest thing people notice. Yeah. It and it's cool. Yeah.
I don't know whether the even like this fast filling, there's this subtle sheen which goes on that red capsule or whatever the chiclet is.
Is it
also tied to the inventory that it will go faster, the sheen? Or am I hoping too much from you? Yeah.
No, that is not right. But wouldn't it be fun if it was?
Yeah. But in fact, like our inventory levels are like we are almost sold out on like the other end size, like the extreme sizes, like let's say like the S or an XS or the 2 pixels for that matter, as we obviously produce them in like smaller quantities, so they tend to just like go off the day we launch it. So yeah, but that's a cool suggestion, like we should probably do that. You just like make your heartbeat go fast, really fast.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Where is this all heading? Just to conclude, what are the next plans? And I believe the site will be up back soon. I don't know whether it will coincide with going this particular episode going live, but yeah, like where is this heading? What's the plan? Like,
yeah, I mean, I would probably talk about like the post.
Yeah, I mean, because you believe in tech and like design, it shouldn't be like our plan is to go open source. Yeah. So yeah, where is the setting? Yeah.
No, yeah. So, but yeah, like I would like to talk about the kind of like pause we are taking right now, because I think we've always believed in like having a beginner's mindset to a lot of stuff that we make. I think Masti was like successful because we started off with a beginner's mindset. Like none of us were from like fashion background, or we didn't have the knowledge of making a t-shirt, and which is why like I think we were able to bend a lot of processes. We were able to think from a fresh mindset in general. Like fashion has been there for like ages, and like it's not changed at all. But I think this beginner mindset kind of like helps us a lot. So like for the past 4 years, we've been 4 or 5 years, we've been continuously like designing, launching stuff, selling, taking feedback, doing the cycle over again. So obviously that has given us a lot of experience, but I think that also adds a lot of baggage. So at the moment we are in the process of like just losing some of it and see if we can like start fresh and think of like just newer ideas in terms of products and the website and the March experience in general. So we thought we needed that. And yeah, hopefully everything feels new once we come back.
Yeah. I think there's this mindset in India, a majority of the country at least, that people want the cheapest thing that gets the job done. And because of that, India is sort of becoming a dumping ground for lower tier products. So we want to get really good products in the hands of people so that they can see and appreciate the details. And I've seen many other startups trying to do the same thing lately, that is making good stuff with fewer compromises. And I do hope once people start trying these out, they'll demand more from other companies, and the overall standard of products eventually starts getting better. And we hope we are able to make a difference that way.
Definitely, definitely. Cool. I think on that note, yeah, all the best for your future. And yeah, it was great talking to you guys. Thank you for giving your time.
Thanks, man. It was fun.
Yeah.
And Kedar, since you mentioned you only wear March tees now, like we would really like to know like how are your tees doing, and do send us photos when you can.
Yeah. I'm not like a model type figure. So it's just like whatever I have. And frankly, yeah, I'll be very honest. I have some 6-7 March tee, the regular ones, and like a couple of Hamo.
Nice.
And yeah, I have like 2 Decathlon t-shirts, which I've brought for like home wear.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest I wear outside. So yeah, the March tees are when I step outside. And nice. So I'm pretty lean in my wardrobe anyway. So yeah.
Nice.
Cool. So I would quote one of the lines which I believe you've mentioned somewhere. So it takes a lot to make a tee that looks and as good as it feels. So yeah, for the listeners, we hope you check out the new March tee. Log on to marchtee.com. Right now it's in hibernated mode. But you can follow March tee on Instagram at March tee, right? @ March tee.
Right.
Yeah. And Ashish is on Twitter, Scribble Bulb. Abhay is on, yeah, you can follow Abhay on Abhay Kun on Twitter. And yeah, at Audio Gyan. And of course, log on to March Tea to get the latest tea very soon. So yeah, thank you guys. It was fun talking to you and a lot of insights about the brand. It was fun.
Thanks. It was fun. I think this is the first time we did this, like an interview sort of thing. So it was very fun.
Yeah, and I think it was a lot of fun for us also to see how our opinions are so different about the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great experience, Kedar. Thanks.
Thanks, Kedar. Yeah.
Thanks.
And that's it from today's Gyan session. Catch us on iTunes, Saavn, Stitcher, or any podcasting app you use. Do rate us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Stay tuned for more Gyan on audiogyan.com. Till then, bye.
Hello. It's been a great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On This Round Is On Me, Gauri is joined by Shweta Nanda. They talk about the financial independence and how it is to be a woman entrepreneur. On Anish Thing, Anish welcomes ultra marathon runner Shivani Gharat. Shivani shares her journey of how she ran her first marathon, the mindset of a runner, and what it actually takes to run a full marathon. On Cock and Bull, Cyrus, Naveen, Akash and Shreyas talk about the Korean band BTS serving in the military and its repercussions. On Think Fast, Varun and Suchita discuss Wing Greens and their latest acquisitions and about the Indian sexual wellness market. And on Shunya One, Sheila Dutya is joined by Dinika Bhatia, CEO and founder of Nutignities. They talk about coming from a business family and Dinika's journey in creating healthy and guilt-free snacking. Once again, don't forget to visit our merch store on ivmpodcast.com. We have some exciting new merch out there for you. Also, do follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And do remember to spread the word about these shows and any other shows you might be listening to. Appreciate them, rate them, and review them wherever you are listening to them. You can also check out all our other shows on youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week. Volvo XC40 Recharge, Bumble, Heads Up for Tails, Kotak Privy League Program, and HDFC Mutual Fund. Thanks, guys. Without you, this would not be possible.
Do you often find yourself surrounded by conversations about Web3, blockchain, NFTs, DAOs? What are these terms and how do they affect our future on the internet? So many questions, but don't worry, we've got answers to all your questions. Hi, I'm Eklavya Bhattacharya, and on our show, Future Proofing, we try to decode the impact of these future technologies on various industries with experts and tech enthusiasts. Tune into new episodes coming out every Thursday on the IVM Podcast app and the website, or wherever you get your podcasts from.